Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. When it comes to finances in a divorce situation, it's been said that most go about it the wrong way. The question is, what is the right way? And what can you do to not regret some of those decisions later on? Christina Lynn is a personal finance expert and certified divorce financial analyst. And she's with us today in the SDPB Sioux Falls studios for a little insight into navigating one of the biggest financial transitions in your life. Christina Lynn, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Lori. Thanks for having me.
So the first thing I think about this is the challenges, maybe particularly for women, maybe not, I'm not sure you can maybe answer that, but of taking care of your financial self, especially when you're leaving a marriage where probably by definition of divorce, you weren't necessarily taken care of in a way, or you weren't taking care of yourself. Or you know, there's a lot of emotion is what I'm getting at that goes into all of a sudden this huge financial transition.
Yeah. Well, divorce is difficult for everybody involved, both spouses, if there's kids involved. It's not fun, but unfortunately, it's a reality in our culture. It happens a lot. For me, it was particularly challenging. I was a stay-at-home mom, and so there was that element. I had to re-enter the workforce with a gap in my resume. So while finances is challenging for everyone involved, that's just an additional element that I think is pretty prevalent in our state here. There are a lot of stay-at-home moms that this is happening to.
All right. So tell us a little bit of that story and just even the courage to sort of move into, and maybe it wasn't your choice, but if you decide to get divorced when you are, stay at home or you're working part time or you really maybe haven't put as much into your career, tell us a little bit about how you navigated that. Did you get it all right the first time?
I got it all wrong. And that's why I'm doing what I'm doing now, because I made a lot of mistakes and I learned a lot from them. So how I handled it was, I was part of a church and, divorce is, not ideal. And so I was really trying to avoid it. And then when the day came that I knew that it was going to have to happen, I left with my kids in my purse and I had no plan whatsoever. And so that was the start of some rough financial transitions for me. So that is not the way I would recommend that people, navigate that situation, but that's, what my story is.
It can be hard when you're in a marriage to sort of lay some of those things out because it can feel like you're planning for something. Do you plan for divorce when you're married? But so
Nobody.
Let's talk about planning, not necessarily for divorce, but planning for your financial future within a marriage. And then let's talk about recovering from divorce. So first of all, are there things that you recommend people do within their marriage, not in preparation for divorce, but just planning for their financial future?
Absolutely. I mean, I love marriage. I want everyone's marriage to be happy and healthy. What I will say in response to that question is I advocate for everyone to have an investment account or a bank account of some sort in their own name. And I don't think that that is having one foot out the door. I think that that's just good common financial sense. I think in a marriage, what that does is it empowers each person to have their hand in the money conversation and really understand, what's going on. You feel part of it. You feel ownership in that conversation. And then, in case of an emergency, maybe it's not divorce, but maybe it's something different. You have that backup that you have some money in your own name that you can access without any questions asked.
And you had, a $500 balance gap card?
Yeah.
Left?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yep. I take the cake for all the mistakes possible made in a divorce situation. But, yeah, I had a $500, it was a gap credit card.
Limit. $500 limit. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that, with a couple trips to the grocery store, that was maxed out. Mm-hmm. And I did try to apply for more credit cards. And I was denied three times. And I didn't understand finances at that point. I wasn't the one handling the family finances, so I was just really clueless. All I knew is I really needed money and I had no access to any.
So when you get to the point where you have the wake-up call that you have to do something, now, how long does it take you before you are studying financial health and financial planning and budgeting? And you start thinking, well, this is something I can do, or this is interesting because it ends up being your career.
Oh, you're asking how
your personal transition from knowing nothing to becoming an advisor.
Well, for me in particular, I feel like my story is common in a lot of ways. Like this happens to, right. It feels like half the people, but I feel like mine was kind of extreme. My divorce lasted 3.5 years. It was appealed to the state Supreme Court, set precedence in the state Supreme Court. So my case, I did go through a lot of the very rare occurrences in divorce. So by the time that it was all over, I was left with all of these hard lessons learned, and I thought, I need to do something with this. I need to help other people from my experiences learn on like a proactively so that they don't make the mistakes that I made. So I actually knew shortly after it was all over that I did want to make a career out of personal finances and with that niche of helping people with the financial end of the divorce issue.
All right. So first tip is get a clue, pay attention to what exactly is happening in your financial life from the beginning. Be part
Absolutely.
Of the conversation.
Yeah. That's actually has nothing to do with divorces. I tell everyone this. For moms and dads, whoever is the person who's more in charge of the finances, I want the other spouse to also understand what's going on. Like you should have a voice. You should understand what the family finances look like. So that should actually start in a marriage.
Right. All right. So you mentioned, we mentioned credit cards. And if you'd had a whole bunch of credit cards at that time, you might have ended up with a whole bunch of credit card debt. So what's is it okay to sort of take the credit cards that you, the credit that you do have and capitalize it in a divorce and use it? Or do you say, no way, don't touch those credit cards?
You know, looking back, it was a blessing in disguise that I couldn't get access to credit cards because I probably would have racked up a lot of debt. I think what happens to most people after a divorce is they go through a tough transition in adjusting to their new budget as a single person, on a single income. And so by having that harsh reality of no longer having access to put money on the credit cards that maybe you don't have left in your income side of things, it forces you to make some hard changes. So I do think it's a good thing. Now, every case is different. And, you know, in certain emergencies, I wouldn't be opposed to somebody taking out credit card debt, but I'd like to see that as a very last resort.
If you don't have the money, you talk about asking family, friends, charities, going and finding those organizations that are willing to help. That can be a hard thing for a lot of people to do. Why go in that direction?
It is hard to do, especially after you've been told no once. It just kind of shuts down your courage. But I actually just got done doing a workshop like this at a church, and the pastor told me that if people would come to him with a request like this, hey, I'm going through a tough time, this is what I have a need for, could you help me? He said that they would be more than willing to help out for like temporary things like that. So I do think that there's organizations, nonprofits, family, friends that will help you. You just have to have the courage to ask. And don't take it personally if one person does say no.
Right. And what about cashing out your retirement or looking at your investments if you have any and saying, you know, now is the time to to pay that penalty and go forward or not so fast?
I made that mistake too. Count that on the list. I had a $6,000 Roth IRA that I cashed out because I needed the cash. And so I do understand that when you get in that pickle, you need a helping hand and you'll be willing to cash out any investment. Now that I'm working in the investment planning industry, I see what a mistake that is because that account could have grown to be $100,000 by the time I was retired. But at the moment, you're in such a crisis that you just need that fix. And so, no, I don't want you to cash out retirement. And I know that every situation is different and, you know, desperate times call for desperate measures, but I'd love to see a way that you could plan carefully so that you wouldn't have to cash out of your retirement, because there are penalties to that.
As a financial consultant, when is the ideal time for someone to come and seek that kind of advice, the personal advice? Is it after the dust has settled? Is it as soon as possible? What do you recommend for seeking financial advice from a professional?
It's a great question to ask, like, before, you know, the issue is at hand. It's best to come to a professional prior to filing for divorce, but even after your divorce is finalized and the dust is settled, like you put it, it's still a good time to reach out. So beforehand is preferable, but at any point in the process, reach out from the experts and get help.
Talk about, you mentioned kids, and mm-hmm. one of the great emotional challenges about divorce is, what is this going to do to my kids? Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things that parents can find challenging is, particularly when one parent has significantly greater income than the mm-hmm. other, the kids are going through so much. Mm-hmm. Parents want to make it as nice for them as possible. And sometimes that means not wanting to say no. And sometimes that may mean spending money that is a little bit of a budget buster. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about getting honest with yourself and your kids and sort of navigating the no's and the transition for them.
Yeah, that is a really great thing to talk about here, because I think in most blended families, that is a dynamic where one parent makes more than the other. For how I have handled it is that my kids know that, you know, I just operate on a different budget than their dad does. And, you know, he can do some of the more luxurious things, and I make it kind of a fun point to do some of the more budget items. Like we go on adventure trips rather than, you know, flying in a plane somewhere. So we do a lot of camping and that sort of thing, which is a lot cheaper than, you know, the kinds of experiences that they get with their dad. So it's not, you know, don't make it a competition. You don't need to outdo each other with gifts. And it's okay to have that income disparity. You can make it a learning thing for your kids, a teachable moment to let them know that there are, you know, there's different amounts of income based on what your careers are. And it's okay. It doesn't make one person bad or good. Just spend within your limit.
And likewise, if you are the parent who has, you know, a little bit more, and maybe that's also a challenge in the sense that talk a little bit about communicating with your ex. Mm-hmm. Do you communicate about money anymore, or is that a boundary that you wanted to sort of set and say, you know, this isn't something that we go back and forth? Do you know what I'm kind of getting
well,
at
there? Well, yeah. I think every blended family relationship is different. I can speak from my own in that we do talk about it. He's, you know, it really helps when, you know, the support is paid on time, so there isn't that tension there that you have to deal with. But that if that's not there, you can then elevate to other issues. And that's what's kind of fun for us. We do talk about, you know, the types of gift we're getting the kids. Like, is it too much? We don't want to spoil them. Even, you know, saving for kids' future. Like, who's going to pay for what? And, you know, I have this investment account started. Do you want to contribute? Like, that, those sorts of things. I do think I am very much a pro, an advocate of doing co-parenting as much as possible. And money should be a part of that topic.
So let's talk about recovering from the divorce, and really, again, I'm curious about you and you finding your own voice in this mm-hmm. process of what you've gone through, hitting sort of a rock bottom, mm-hmm. finding certification and training and reading everything that you could possibly read and coming up with your own budgets and taking your own classes. At some point you become, you know, wanting to help others in this process. What was that like for you emotionally, to have the confidence that you could help other people avoid some of the mistakes that you made?
Yeah, I felt so alone when I was going through that process. I thought, this is, nobody else understands me. No one's ever felt this way before. And that's just not the truth. I think when you're going through this, you know, emotional roller coaster, like you mentioned, you're just not thinking straight. Like you're heartbroken. There's so much pressure on you to get things figured out, both legally and with your new life and financially. I wanted, and my pain, my suffering I felt was so severe. I just, I really have a heart for other people going through this. I don't want them to feel alone like I did. I wanted there to be a voice out there in the community that talks about these things from like a neutral standpoint, not rock throwing or not crying or not, you know, gossiping. I wanted there to be like an educational source for people to go to. And I didn't know of anything at that time. So I thought, why not me? You know, my case seems to be pretty extreme. I learned so much. I guess it's my, you know, this is something that I can do to help.
All right. Tell us where folks can find you and sort of talk about, learning more about their finances, learning more about finances after divorce, or even find your services.
Yeah. If you need, help with divorce finances, there is a website, the Institute of Divorce Financial Analysts, that you can go. There's a couple in our state. Of course, you can contact me. I'm on my website. I also love to do like inspirational things about money and divorce topics. So follow me on my social media platforms or find other people that you find inspiring. Just, you know, get inspiration somewhere in a positive way.
Yeah. Inspiration leads to empowerment. Christine Lynn, thank you so much.
Thank you, Lori.